Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, how many burn counts do you have? We'll talk about the madness happening in Philadelphia.
Then we'll talk about whether or not Miami could trade for a first-round pick and the Orlando Magic hiring a new head coach in Steve Clifford. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back, and I write for Miami Heat's Tip-Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Romello, credentialed NBA writer. Covered the Heat for SB Nation, allyoucanheat.com. I cover the league at large for Fansided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRomello13.
We were going to talk about what the Nuggets might be looking for in order to offload Kenneth Reed and the 14th pick in the draft. And we were going to talk about Steve Clifford being hired by the Orlando Magic yesterday, except our podcast yesterday, in which we drafted the Miami Heat's roster to each of the NBA Finals team, went really long. So this is a bonus episode of the week, a part two, so to speak, of what was supposed to be Thursday's episode. But let's start with this news out of Philly that general manager Brian Colangelo is operating several burner accounts on Twitter in order to criticize team players and decisions. If you haven't followed this story, it's way too much to really explain in huge detail the minute-to-minute things that we're finding out. And by the time you guys are hearing this,
a quick overview.
But we should say by the time you're hearing this, any number of things could be changed or revealed or decided by the time you're hearing this. We're recording this on a Wednesday evening, so
yeah. The Ringer, a reporter for The Ringer, got a tip that there were numerous accounts linked to Brian Colangelo following the same people, sharing the same kind of ideas. An algorithm that showed that there was several links between all of these burner accounts. And then it turns out, again, as you pointed out, that they were criticizing players, even giving news to media members, saying, you know, hinting at the fact that maybe a player might be injured or something along those lines. Since then, Colangelo has said that it has nothing to do with him. Further research shows that his wife might be involved and might be texting or tweeting during press conferences and things of that sort. So it's a convoluted mess. Colangelo has made an official statement. The 76ers are investigating what's going on, and it's likely that Colangelo's tenure with the team is probably over.
Well, that was where I was going to go with this. You think Colangelo is going to lose his job because of this?
I don't see how he could. Like, I mean, one of the most damning statements was after seeing Joel Embiid dance, I can't remember at what concert he was over the summer when he was supposedly injured and recovering, and he was dancing at a concert without his shirt on or whatever, and one of these burner accounts said, doesn't matter that he's dancing. Joel isn't the future of the team. I'm paraphrasing here. Let's ride him out. Let's use him up as much as we can, basically, and eventually get rid of him. So knowing that your star player, really, in effect, is, you know, somebody that you can just use like a piece of meat and discard, given his injury history and his youth and his potential and everything else, that's pretty damning. I don't know how he can come back and face a team saying, yeah, I talked trash about all of you guys and some of your former teammates like Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noel, but you know what? I'm here anyway, so you're going to have to get used to it. Like, that just seems, given the kind of upwards path that Philadelphia was on in the postseason and everything else, I just can't see how they could bring somebody like that back. Can you?
It would be very awkward. It would be a very awkward locker room that Brian Colangelo would walk into. I actually wondered whether or not Joel, if it meant that the Sixers would have to trade Joel Embiid. If Joel Embiid was said, the hell with you guys, I don't care if you fire Colangelo or not, you guys don't see me as the future of this team, trade me. And I don't know how much power Joel Embiid actually could exert on the organization like that, but we've seen crazy things happen in this league. And if somebody would have told me that, hey, of all the stars who can get traded, Joel Embiid might be on the move, I'd been like, you're crazy. And then this Brian Colangelo stuff happens, I'm like, I guess anything can happen at this point. But I don't think that that'll be the case. I think you're right. Colangelo will be fired here. It's worth mentioning that apparently Embiid and Colangelo connected after this story was posted on The Ringer. And I guess Colangelo talked Embiid off the cliff, so to speak, saying that he's not, this is not true, this is fake.
Maybe more apt metaphor is that he convinced Joel Embiid to open a window allowing him off the ledge, because I think that was where Colangelo was really pushed after the report.
So look, I think but any you know, anything can happen. I mean, all these like people are going to continue to dig into this, and if it shows that Colangelo actually did tweet those things and criticize Joel Embiid, then Joel Embiid might be like, okay, you did this, and then you lied to me on the phone. Like, what the hell? And who knows? But this is crazy out of Philadelphia. You think about the things that are happening in Philadelphia between Marco Fultz's mystery injury, not injury, forgetting how to shoot, remembering how to shoot, shooting, you practice shooting off of his back or with the wrong hand or whatever it might be, and this stuff with the burner accounts, and it is absolute insanity there. And I just wonder, like, if the other thing that we're not talking about, and what I wanted to bring up, is the fact that, and this often goes, this isn't talked about enough when it comes to the fact that the NBA pressured the 76ers to hire Brian Colangelo, and in, you know, by doing that, kind of forced Sam Hinkie out, because, look, Sam Hinkie apparently did technically resign because they hired Brian Colangelo, and Colangelo is now stepping on his corner. But I do believe that the NBA had to know that that was a strong possibility for that to happen, and probably was a scenario that they had gamed out in their own in making that move. And so I don't think that Sam Hinkie would have done these things. It does seem like this is a guy who, according to Sports Illustrated's Lee Jenkins, has an alarm set every hour on his watch to go off so that he can take a beat and consider his productivity of the last hour.
Yeah,
Brian Colangelo is a guy who spends his time apparently operating five different Twitter burner accounts.
Yeah, and defending his wardrobe choice regarding the length of his collars. And those collars
are egregious. I mean, how could he not see that? Egregious.
I don't really have much of an opinion on Colangelo's wardrobe there. I think this is insane behavior, to be honest with you. Like, it is a lot of the stuff that we saw. It's like, it's so hard managing one Twitter account. Who the hell has time for five to do these kinds of things? It's so duplicitous to leak information that was supposed to be kept in-house, to trash players there. Like, yes, I understand that he is the son of a former executive, Jerry Colangelo. I understand he's had quite a career building teams in Phoenix and Toronto, and then, of course, in Philadelphia, taking over what Hinkie had started there. Mm. But it just, I just can't see how you'd want that guy in the locker room. Again, you know, given that everything, and with free agency, with potential trades, like, how do you trust a guy like Colangelo? It's like, oh, are you going to lure me to your team and then talk trash about me if you don't like the amount of money that you threw at me? I mean, I understand that he didn't draft Embiid, but to talk trash about him like that, given what we saw from Embiid this past season and the kind of success he's had, I mean, it seems short-sighted, to say the least.
And you absolutely fire Colangelo as opposed to purge the locker room of probably its best or its second best player at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the possibility of being floated around, and it's not a bad one. You bring in David Griffin, who had a really, really strong relationship with a certain star in Cleveland. You lure LeBron James, a rumor that's been dangling there all season long. I think it makes a lot of sense. You clean
David
up.
David Griffin's a guy who, even if he doesn't get LeBron, right, has shown an ability to make those fringe moves to take a team from one level to the next.
Right.
You know, he did it in his first couple of years in Cleveland. And that could be of value to Philadelphia as well.
It shows a lot about, to tie it together to Miami, for all that we've talked about, and you can be critical about the Heat front office and some of the moves maybe you don't like, and maybe Hassan Whiteside and Tyler Johnson are getting paid too much, whatever. But you never hear about this kind of disharmony. You never hear about, I feel like Pat Riley, a guy who challenged 7'1", 375-pound behemoth Shaquille O'Neal in a practice, and has stared down Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Magic Johnson and God knows who else during his playing days. You know, he was shared a locker room with Wilt Chamberlain. I think this guy from Schenectady, New York, if he's going to talk trash to you, he's going to do it to your face. He's not going to do it via a burner account. So I think there's something,
or at least not be sloppy with the burner accounts. I have all of them linked back to the same cell phone number.
Okay, that is possible. Yes,
he's the guy. But at the same time, though, I just things up.
You want some kind of, you know, you want openness there. For all the criticism that you might want, and I have directed at Pat Riley in the past, you can't criticize his level of communication with players, I think.
Open door policy with coaches and players. That's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up, because this is the stuff that, and we even saw stuff between Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs happening in San Antonio, which was supposed to be the organization in the NBA, and still is. I'm not to disparage them. What's happening with Kawhi is a freak incident. And the Heat have not been without, their issues. I mean, the Dwayne Wade stuff, the LeBron James stuff, the Chris Bosh stuff, but nothing to this level of insanity. It's just the usual. The most that comes out of Miami is typically the ego that gets involved in sports on a yearly basis and right. just the typical issues that come with contract negotiations. That's about it. Nothing like this.
Yeah, missteps, not complete failures.
Right.
Like this.
Nobody got just... fired.
Right. All right. Over this.
Well, what was reported Wednesday that the Nuggets could be willing to trade the number 14 pick in exchange for taking Kenneth Faried's contract off of their hands? We'll talk about how the Heat can get involved after this quick break. Back with Locked On Heat, Steve Clifford is the new coach of the Orlando Magic. We'll talk about if he can turn Miami's division rival around later on. But let's check in on the Nuggets. Adrian Wojnarowski reported that the Nuggets could be willing to trade their number 14 pick in exchange for taking Kenneth Faried's expiring $13.7 million contract. This could be a way for the Heat to acquire a pick in the draft. We've seen some scuttle on Twitter and our emails about this idea, but let's first look at what the Nuggets would be looking for in a deal. If Denver, in order for Denver to attach the 14th pick to Kenneth Faried in order to offload that contract, they'd be looking to create cap space, I think, to acquire a difference-making player while remaining out of the luxury tax. Would you agree with that, David? This is a team that is looking to take that next step into the playoffs.
Yeah, Kenneth Faried, maybe a bit of an overpay over a few years ago, fallen out of favor in subsequent years after a strong showing for Team USA, where he proved that he had a lot of hustle and ability to pull down rebounds and make a difference in international play. It just didn't translate to that kind of success at the NBA level, even after he had some pretty decent years with Denver after he was selected there many years ago. But the point being that they're looking to move on. He just doesn't play much. Him and Michael Malone just haven't been able to see eye to eye for years now. It's been somewhat problematic. And while Faried hasn't necessarily cost them anything or been a problem in the locker room, it's just an ugly presence. You don't want him there fuming and quietly bemoaning the fact that he deserves to play or that he thinks he should play, and knowing that Malone is never going to give him that opportunity. So why not move on and hopefully get a player in exchange that won't be taking up a lot of salary cap and be able to contribute, because Denver has realistic playoff hopes next year. They brought in Paul Millsap. They have a lot of money tied to him. Nikola Jokic is in his prime years right now, where they're looking to capitalize that as much as possible. They've got a young core that I think they see as being able to take them to that next level.
And they need a couple of upgrades on that roster. You look at a guy like Wilson Chandler, a veteran, they could upgrade at that position. Maybe find a backup rim protector, a backup point guard. Just a more trustworthy players that they could play in crunch time situations, and guys who can step up throughout the 82-game season and just, you know, help you win a couple more games here and there so that you can go from, you know, last pick in the lottery to the playoffs. I mean, this was a team that was a game out of the postseason, right? So they're close. They just need maybe a couple upgrades on that roster up and down in order to get there. I think they're going to be looking again for cap space in order to get that difference maker. So they can't take a lot of money. They can't take a lot of money, if any money, back in that sort of deal. So they're going to be looking to trade Faried essentially to a team that can absorb Faried's entire contract and give them the 14th pick in the draft in exchange for that. The Heat aren't that team. The Heat don't have any cap space. We've talked about that 100 times. They can't just absorb Kenneth Faried. We've seen some things like exchanges for James Johnson or a guy like Deion Waiters or somebody like that who makes a little bit less money but comparable enough. I don't think that's what the Nuggets are looking to do. I think they'd rather just trade him to Phoenix or Atlanta, teams that could just literally take the entire $14 million contract onto their books in exchange for that 14th pick. That said, I think there are going to be a couple ways specifically for Miami to get involved. The Nuggets are currently $6.5 million over the cap and $15 million below the luxury tax apron. Trading Faried and taking no money back would create only $7.6 million in cap space, so not enough to really sign a real difference maker there, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it would give them enough room under the luxury tax, if they didn't take any cap space back, about $28 million, to acquire a max-level player via trade. Now, the Heat don't have any such guy that they'd be willing to take on their roster, right? They're set at center with Jokic and in the front court with Millsap. I don't think they'd be willing to, I don't think that they're interested in Hassan Whiteside. They don't strike me as that sort of team. But there's, what if they can get a third team involved, the Heat and the Nuggets? And would that third team prefer something Miami has on its roster over Fareed's expiring contract and a draft pick? That would be the hypothetical, right? So the third team would be willing to take, would be willing to get involved in order to basically send almost nothing out in order to acquire a larger contract that the Heat have on the books, like an Hassan Whiteside, for example. If that team is willing to take Hassan Whiteside on for literally nothing other than maybe a heavily protected second round pick or something, and have enough cap space to absorb Whiteside's contract or give off a small asset in order to make that work, and then Miami could take Fareed and the 14th pick onto their cap books, and Denver can then get the cap space that they've been looking for without taking any money back.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the only way that it would probably work out at this point. So, I mean, what is it that Denver's looking for most, you think? A similar impactful wing player? They're pretty set in their front court, obviously, with Jokic, Millsap. I guess they have Mason Plumlee. Mason Plumlee. Sorry. Yeah. Always hard to remember.
They're looking for I think they're looking for an upgrade over Wilson Chandler. Somebody who could play some small forward for them. Will Barton's going to be a free agent for them. It's hard. They're going to have to spend money to bring him back. So they could be, this move could be just to bring him back under and being able to offer him a competitive enough deal to retain him, right? Because there's going to be a lot of teams that want Will Barton. Or if not Will Barton, if he leaves, then maybe you're able to sign a guy like a Tyreke Evans or somebody like that to sort of replace him. And then, look, they acquired Devin Harris at the trade deadline last season. Maybe they're looking to find a point guard who can take the ball out of Jamal Murray's hands a little bit. That allows Murray to play off ball at some occasions, even though I think they view Murray as a point guard in the future. But just like the Warriors do with Steph Curry, sometimes you just want to take the ball out of his hands so that you can use his off ball skills a little bit throughout the game. I think those are the kind of players that they'd be looking for. Mason Plumlee's fine, but they could probably upgrade that backup center position. I just don't know that that's a huge priority.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've seen Goran Dragic as like the name that's been linked most from the Heat roster there as far as like potential options. Him and James Johnson, which one of those do you think would be the better fit for Denver or more along lines of what they're looking for?
I don't think James Johnson moves the needle enough for them, and I wouldn't do like if they'd be the move I could see them doing is James Johnson for Kenneth Fareed straight up, no draft pick. That would make sense from Denver's perspective and from Miami's perspective if they were trying to unload money for next summer. That would make sense. The draft pick wouldn't make sense. Dragic, that's the good question.
Doesn't he have 2 years left, though?
He's got 2 years left. Who does have 2 years left?
Fareed has 2 years
left. No, he'll be an expiring contract.
Oh, really? Okay, I thought there was 2 years left on that, too.
2 years, this is a second to last contract.
Oh, I see, okay.
Or a year on the contract. But look, if Denver is trying to make, if they're trying to create enough cap space in order to upgrade the roster, does Goran Dragic represent enough of a difference maker for the Nuggets to, in lieu of cap space to chase free agents with, just take Goran Dragic onto your roster? Is he enough of a difference maker to Denver? And in exchange, Miami gets, you know, Miami would get Fareed in the 14th pick in exchange for Goran Dragic. Now, Miami would then clear caps, a little bit of cap space for 2019, a lot of cap space for 2019, actually, and then get the 14th pick in the draft this summer. Let's take it from the Nuggets perspective first. Is Dragic enough of a difference maker for them to warrant making that sort of deal?
I think he provides some stability in their backcourt. He's a guy who seems they've been linked to in the past as an interesting option there. I think his style of play would really work well with Malone's group, and he's got some experience, some grit. I think that he could really thrive there. I think he would be, again, it might be a short-term move in the sense that he will probably make the difference for them as far as being able to get into the playoffs. But at the same time, then they'll be in a real tough situation as far as trying to make any kind of moves in the future. And they've got young players like Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, who I think are due for extension soon. So that limits what they can do if they're going to be that cash strapped in the future.
Yeah, you know, that's true, but I do think that Denver is short-sighted in their goals, right? Like we know
they need
that
to make the playoffs soon.
And the general manager, if they don't, could be on the hook, and that could, and so could Mike Malone. So I mean, Dragic in that respect makes sense. I think, to be honest, this is a no-brainer. If Pat Riley called up Denver and said Fareed in the 14th pick for Dragic, I think that the Nuggets should do it in a heartbeat. I think it's a no-brainer. He would provide a lot of those things that you said, and it would be a a big difference maker, I think, to that team. And let's face it, I don't know that a free agent is rushing to go to Denver, especially at a little bit less than $8 million a season. You can get Dragic in exchange. He's better than anybody I think Denver could sign in free agency. If the Nuggets don't think that they can make a Chris Paul-type trade like the Rockets did last summer, because they'll have, right. in moving Fareed, you will have enough cap space to take that kind of contract on and not pay the luxury tax. I don't know what trade that is out there for them and what sort of assets that they'd be willing to part with outside of Fareed's expiring contract, a player that they don't really care to have on the roster, plus the 14th pick, which is a pick that they don't necessarily care to have. They would rather be in the playoffs than be picking in the middle of the first round. So I think it would be a no-brainer. For the Heat, I would have questions. It would have to be probably the first of two moves in order to create a little bit more cap space for next summer and chase a free agent. And we really wouldn't know the result and or how successful that move is until next summer. I mean, that would be a delayed result for the Heat, and kind of a risky move too. So I don't know if I'd be so into it if I'm the Heat. I'd probably ask for maybe a young player back in exchange, just so that I can get a guarantee in addition to that 14th pick. But it would be something that I would think about too.
Yeah.
All right, well, speaking of thinking about things, the Magic are no longer thinking about who their head coach is going to be because they just hired one. We're going to talk to Locked On Magic's Philip Rossman-Reich about what this means for the Orlando Magic when we come back after this break. Back with Locked On Heat, Miami's division rival up in Orlando has hired a new head coach. Here's Locked On Magic's Philip Rossman-Reich with more.
Hello, this is Philip Rossman-Reich of Locked On Magic. I'm sure all of you are getting ready for the NBA Finals. And probably the NBA draft as well if you're a team like the Orlando Magic that don't have much to play for in June. But a little bit of breaking news today. The Orlando Magic have hired Steve Clifford as their new head coach. The former Charlotte Hornets head coach, of course, had in my opinion, a fairly successful five-year run with the Hornets, making the playoffs twice, helping turn around a franchise that was really, really down on its luck. A team that obviously had the worst record in league or the worst win percentage in league history during the lockout year. And then was still struggling to get back up on its feet. In his first year, he had a 20-win turnaround with the Hornets, getting them to 43 wins and a first-round playoff sweep to the then LeBron James-led Miami Heat. They would return to the playoffs in 2016 with a 48-34 record and continue to struggle to kind of reach those lofty expectations again. The one thing that I really like about Steve Clifford for this Orlando Magic team specifically is that his Charlotte Hornets teams always had a set identity. Except for the last 2 years, which coaches tend to go stale after a while, but except for the last 2 years, the Hornets had a top 10 defensive rating. In fact, even in the last 2 years, the Hornets had a positive net rating. They missed the playoffs with a positive net rating. In fact, I would argue their 36-46 record, even through injuries, even through some of the problems that the Hornets had, was a vast underachievement. At least statistically, it was. They were really a 500 team at the end of the day. And 500 gets into the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. So some bad luck in late games, so on and so forth, probably cost them as much as anything. But Steve Clifford here is a coach that establishes an identity. He has a high expectation level, and that helps young teams trying to take that next step, at least get into playoff contention. And that's where the Magic are right now, frankly. After 6 years missing the playoffs, never winning more than 35 games, they really need a coach that's just going to get them to that next level. They just need a coach that's going to get them to be competitive every single night. And that's not something the Magic have had for a very, very long time. And so this hire to me, yes, it kind of feels like the Magic settled a little bit. They went for a coach with some established ties to the franchise. He was an assistant coach under Stan Van Gundy from 2008 to 2012. But also a coach that establishes a culture, establishes an identity. And that's what the Magic need more than anything else. It is a retread. I probably would have liked to see them go with an up-and-coming assistant coach, give someone new a chance, but that comes with risk too. If there's one thing that I can say definitively about Steve Clifford is he's going to demand a standard of play for this team and begin to establish a culture. And that's what the Magic, again, need more than anything else.
David, you heard Philip's thoughts on the matter. As someone who has spent some time around the Magic, do you think that Clifford could turn things around there?
That's tough. I really like I like Clifford a lot personally. I think he's always been very friendly to me. He's always been very open and sincere in his appraisal of the team. He does have a winning track record, some familiarity with the Orlando area, being an assistant head coach there, as Philip pointed out. So I think, you know, it's a good fit. It's so tough to see where this Magic team is going to be in the future, because they just seem like they're so incomplete from a roster perspective. Obviously, yeah, they've got a top 10 pick in the upcoming draft there. Not that Clifford necessarily has a great record of developing players, although, again, as Philip pointed out, you know, guys like Kaminsky and Kemba Walker took steps, positive steps, under Clifford's watch. So, you know, they've got a very young roster. Aaron Gordon entering restricted free agency, though. Can he get something out of Nikola Vucevic? There's a lot of questions there. They've got their other young player, Jonathan Isaac, who was a rookie this past season. You know, it's tough to see. I think he could get them to at least focus. But you know what? This was a lot of what we said about Vogel, too. Exactly. We saw Vogel's success in Indiana with Roy Hibbert, with getting the most out of Lance Stephenson, getting, you know, Paul George to take a leap in his career. And we said, you know what? This is the guy that can take this young squad and take it to that next level. Then they made some really bad roster moves. And again, that was a different, you know, front office. Rob Hennigan, who made those moves for Orlando, is no longer with the team. So they've got a new core in place there as far as their personnel making decision, or the decision makers are concerned. So maybe they won't make those same bad moves. But at the same time, I just don't know that Clifford's the kind of coach that is going to inspire a 20, 21-year-old player to take that next level in the NBA.
He doesn't really like young players. We saw that with Malik Monk this last season. I mean, he's old school in that he asks his rookies basically to prove it in practice before they prove it on the court. And not a lot of young players can do that or you know, necessarily respond to that. Look, I said it when they fired Frank Vogel. It didn't make sense to me. The Magic don't have a coaching problem. They have a talent problem. And until you get enough talent on that roster, it doesn't matter who the coach is going to be. It's the same thing that the New York Knicks are doing. They hired David Fizdale. I think that's a great hire there. But the Knicks have an organizational issue. It's not they're going through coaches every other season, and they're troubleshooting the wrong issue. And I think the Magic here are doing the same thing and firing Frank Vogel. Look, they had to hire somebody. Steve Clifford is as good as anybody that they could have hired. But again, they're troubleshooting for the wrong problem. The problem is that this team does not have enough talent, and that's not the coach's fault. That's the general manager's fault. And John Hammond has to do a better job of figuring out who is going to be on this roster for the next few seasons. They've got to find a way to retain Aaron Gordon and decide if they want to pay him what he's going to get paid, because people are going to offer him qualifying offers, and the Orlando is going to have the rights to match it. They've got to determine whether or not Aaron Gordon is good enough to build around. And that's going to be, again, the general manager, not necessarily Steve Clifford's responsibility.
Right.
So this, again, is just sort of like, all right, you got a new head coach, great, but get better players.
The team he took over today might not be there in a month. You know, who knows what's going to happen following the draft? They might trade away some players at the draft. They might lose Aaron Gordon in free agency. So, you know, in a very short amount of time, Clifford could wind up again. And this happened with Vogel too. Like, he took over the head coaching position. Next thing you know, you traded future all-star Victor Oladipo to Oklahoma City for Serge Ibaka. And not shortly thereafter, you paid a whole heck of a lot of money to get Bismack Biyombo after he had success with the Toronto Raptors. And both those moves blew up in Orlando's face. And again, that's what led to Hennigan's firing. So it's tough to say. I mean, look, I don't personally think that Gordon is the kind of player you can build around. He's a secondary star, in my view, a guy who has a lot of talent and ability. But you know, I just don't see it. You know, luckily
would you pay him though?
Would I pay him
for Orlando?
I would not match the max offer. No, I think he's a guy that you want to pay $20 million a year at the most, and he could reach it.
I think they have to.
I know they feel like they have to.
And that's how they make mistakes, though. I guess you're right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's exactly, and I don't know. This is going to be like a game of chicken, and we're going to see who flinches first. But I've seen Gordon. He's got not an arrogance necessarily, but I think he's got, you know, he's got a haughty kind of attitude about his abilities, and he sees his potential, and he thinks he's deserving of that money. And I mean, a lot of people would argue that he might be right, but you know, they've got holes to fill. Now, I will say that I think a move that might make sense, you know, there's a hole at the point guard position. Could Orlando engage Charlotte and UGM Mitch Kupchak to see if they could acquire Kemba Walker, maybe trade some of those young players and a future draft pick or something along those lines to reunite Walker with his former coach? And
they had so much success in Charlotte. You might as well try to run it back.
Yeah.
There was a lot of sarcasm there.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
look, no, it makes sense, right? If you're Magic, you might have, you could, especially if Aaron Gordon's not on the team next year and you let him go away. They could have the cap space to absorb a Nick Batum or an MKG or something like that.
Who did Charlotte hire as their coach? I'm blanking out here.
Me too. I have no idea. Doesn't matter. Okay. Mitch Kupchak, is he gonna coach too? Let's Google it. Charlotte Hornets head coach. We got like listeners screaming at us. Oh, James Borrego.
Oh right, yeah. Another uninspiring move, to be honest with you. Like,
did Borrego, you just swap coaches?
Yeah, Borrego, former head coach with the Magic, then an assistant coach with the Spurs, then back to Charlotte. Now Clifford, former head coach. Yeah, a lot of retreading there. I mean, there's no knock specifically on Borrego or on Clifford. Like I said, a fine coach and a guy that I happen to like personally. But at the same time, I just don't know that he's going to be able to get this roster as currently constructed or whatever additions they make and say, all right, we're going to take it to that next level.
And at the end of the day, look, the Orlando Magic's still not really a concern for the Miami Heat as far as division rivals go. I just
absolutely
not that concerned about what Orlando's doing. All right, well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. Send us your questions and comments by emailing us at lockedonheat@gmail.com or using the hashtag AskLOHeat and support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.